Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sharon. Welcome to the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Pulpit is always a delight to have you here with me, and I say it every week because I really mean it. To all my faithful listeners, you are the best. For those of you who have been with me since day one, oh, I just love you so much. Thank you so much for your support, your encouragement, and your radio topic ideas. I tell you, you all give me some great ideas. And for those who may be new to the show, I just want to say welcome. Welcome to the Marketing Pulpit. Well, we're going to dive right in. As you know, this show goes by so fast. It really, really does. So we're going to dive right in. And if you're new to the show or if you have a question or comment, you know we love your questions and comments. Just feel free to choose option one on your keypad. 215-383-3872. Choose option one on your keypad and you will be put into the queue for questions. That's right, just choose option one and you will be put into the queue for questions. Well, you know, for the last few weeks, we actually spent some time answering a listener's question. A listener had a great question, so we did that. So if you missed that, just go to our archives, and you know where you can find that, www.marketingpulpit.com, www.marketingpulpit.com. You can find our archives, listen to our past shows. And also, listen, if you are a business or you have a service or product that you would like to offer, guess what? We have a directory. We do, and you can put your information in that directory, and guess what? It is free. You don't find too much free these days, but it is absolutely free. Well, the mission of the Marketing Pulpit is to build strong businesses so that we, that's right, and I know you're probably wondering, well, how do you do that? Well, we do our best to bring great programming that helps you not only with employees, but with your bottom line, productivity. We also want to enhance your employee relationships, so we bring a host of information regarding relationships, leadership, workforce development. We try to make sure we bring information regarding industry trends. That's what we do right here. And I just thank you so much for listening. Well, listen, we're going to dive right in. We have been in a series, Preparing for the Unexpected. And this has been a wonderful series. We've got some really good comments, reviews on it. And today we are discussing preparing for the unexpected. We're in the series of grief. And I know some of you may be wondering, well, what does that have to do with building strong business with businesses? Well, as you know, we all experience, and if you have not experienced, if you live long enough, you will experience grief. And as we discussed on several shows with Dr. Ira Lake, and he brought out some awesome points, that grief doesn't necessarily have to mean losing a loved one. Grief can involve losing your job. It could involve divorce. We grieve in various ways and for different reasons. And, of course, those who know about my co-host, Dr. Lake, he is not with us today. Of course, you know he's been doing seminars, workshops all over the place, and he does a lot of mediation, and he has to do that today. And we have a special guest with us. Well, actually, he's been on the show before. Therapist Davis has been on our show before, and he is joining us today, helping me co-host the show today. Therapist, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Glad to be on again. Thank you for allowing me to be back.
Oh, we're just delighted that you are here today. And don't you go anywhere, because we have two special guests that are on our show as well today, and we are discussing Prepare for the Unexpected, Grieving the Living. I know, you heard me right, Grieving the Living. And trust me,
you're listening to Johnny Lee with the KeithAtWork.org organization and the E-Panic Button. And we're here with Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Pulpit.
That's right. You are here on the Marketing Pulpit, and I want to thank you so much again for joining us. Now, therapists, you know, you and I actually talked about this. In fact, you are the one who enlightened me about this topic, and I just want to thank you so much for that. We're talking about grief and grieving, and so many people go through grief and grieving, and I just want you to tell us a little bit about the process, the stages of grief, if you share that with our listening audience today.
Okay, Sharon, like you were saying, we had a conversation on last week, and you mentioned that your topic today would be of grief, and I brought up the question, is grief only after someone has passed? And so we had a ongoing conversation about what grief is, and we came up with the idea that maybe we could discuss how to deal with grief while you're living. Now, most people who have experienced losing a loved one by passing away have been told that there are, give or take, five stages of death, and they are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. However, we as therapists, we try to encourage people to understand that you will experience all five stages, but there is no chronological order of when each stage will hit you. So some people are wondering, you know, when mom or daddy, whoever has passed away, and the other person seems to be kind of, they don't want to accept it. You know, why are they angry? Or why are they trying to rationalize or come up with a reason why? And we just have to understand that grief is a process. It's an ongoing process. But more importantly, we need for people now to understand that grief is not just about losing a loved one through passing. Terminal illness being diagnosed is very rapidly increased. So we have to understand that dealing with the grief of receiving news of a loved one with a terminal illness is very much increasing in society today.
Well, you know, you mentioned something very interesting just a few minutes ago. You said the five stages of grief and loss, and you mentioned denial, anger. Now, you mentioned one, bargaining. That is interesting. I'd love to hear just a little bit more about that. But you also mentioned depression and acceptance. Now, something that I want to ask you, therapist, now you mentioned that you may not go through them in any certain order, but sometimes you hear people say, you need to just get over it, you should be over it by now, it's been long enough, it's been 2, 3, 5 years. Is there a certain time period that people should just be over their grief, or is it okay to take as long as you need? What do you talk to your clients about?
Well, first thing, we have to help individuals understand what grief is. And if you don't mind, let me give you two very very short definitions of grief. The most common one that we day-to-day go by is just a normal reaction to a loss. But it's not just a loss of death. It can be a loss of any kind. As you mentioned, Dr. Lake touched on, you know, losing your job can cause grief. But a more appropriate definition for our discussion today is grief being conflicting feelings caused by the end or change of a pattern of behavior, such as losing your job, such as dealing with a terminally ill parent or a child or a sibling. And to answer your question, with that comes with the acceptance part. And what we have, the bargaining. And what we have happen is we have a lot of individuals, especially people who are very Christ-inspired, who love the Lord, who serve the Lord, who are very active in church, they tend to want to try to not just pray their loved one out of the situation, but they want to kind of ask the Lord, well, Lord, can you spare them? You know, Lord, why them? Why not me? And sometimes we just have to understand that some things are, or a lot of things are out of our control. And that's where the bargaining comes in at. Starting to not really want to accept it, so we have to come up with a bargain.
That's interesting. And I'm glad I am so glad you mentioned that. That's why I just love having you and the Dr. Lake on the show. You mentioned the bargaining, like if we had just done this, or if I had prayed hard, or if I had sought better medical attention, or if I had gotten a second opinion sooner, or if I had maybe contacted another doctor, that can really play havoc on your mind and make you feel incredibly guilty and send you spiraling even deeper into a state of depression. Do you find that with clients or people that you work with, that bargaining can make the depression even worse?
Yes, absolutely, because the purpose of bargaining is to gain something, or to at least have something seem more even. And when you pray, or you want to seek that second opinion, that third opinion, that, you know, maybe I'm not doing something right in my life, I need to change this, then you can't have resentment, because that person may, their health may not be improving, or the condition has worsened, or your situation has not changed. So then you want to go through the, like you mentioned, the anger, the resentment, the feeling that, you know what, it doesn't really matter anymore. Why pray? Why pray for anything? If I prayed for this and it didn't happen, if I prayed for my job and it didn't work out. So we just have to, as clinicians, we just have to constantly let our clients know that just because it doesn't go your way doesn't mean that it's not going to work out for the best in the long run.
Well, I can definitely appreciate that. And, you know, like I said at the beginning of the show, if you have not gone through the grieving process, if you live long enough, you will. I know our family has. And we today have decided to really focus on denial and grieving the living. And I have two wonderful guests on my show today. And when we come back, we are going to dive into a topic that you may or may not have thought of. I know when therapists mentioned it to me, I was like, wow. I really didn't think of it in those terms. So when we come back, I will introduce you to my very special guest right here on the Marketing Bullshit.
What's going on, people? It's your boy, Zay Lee, Reflect Nation, stand up. And you are listening to Sharon Bennett on the Marketing Bullshit.
Oh, I'm saying it again. We're so delighted that you decided to join us today. And we left on this short break. I mentioned to you that I have two special guests that are joining me today because we are discussing preparing for the unexpected, grieving the living. And if you've never thought about this before, I promise you by the time this show is over with, you are going to be enlightened by these two guests. I have with me today wonderful person. I have talked to her through the week, and she is just so pleasant to talk to. We have Corey O'Donohue, and she also has a guest with her as well that's on our show, Ashley Stevens, and they are from the Alzheimer's Association. Corey and Ashley, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Great. Thank you so much for having us. We are delighted to be with you this morning.
Oh, we are delighted to have you. And I'm telling you, I was just so thrilled when I went and did some research on your organization, the chapter that you are with. I was amazed as to the work that you all do. And what I would like you to do, if you don't mind, share with us what this grieving for the living, how is that even possible? And introduce us to the work that you do and how you see this every day, grieving the living.
Absolutely. One of the most important services that we offer at no charge at all to individuals living with this disease and families coping with this disease are supportive care services to the individuals and the families. And I'm going to turn over and let Ashley talk about what that is. We've got a helpline, 1-800-272-3900. Trained care consultants are available 24/7 to talk to people, and it might be an absolutely impromptu crisis situation. But the alternative as well is to do some care consultations. Those appointments can be in person, they can be over the phone, where folks that are going through this really have a chance to talk to social workers and clinicians and folks like therapists who can help them work through what's going on. And so, Ashley, will you share with us some of what you experience and what folks are going through?
Sure. So just speaking about grieving the losses of the living, this is very relative to what we see with caregivers and what they're experiencing with providing daily care for their loved one in the home. So typically, caregivers may be losing that role or grieving the loss of certain abilities that their loved one is losing due to the disease process and the progression of the disease. So it makes it very difficult for the caregiver to cope with those losses and taking on those new roles as their loved one goes through the disease process. And an overarching kind of theme that we really run into when working directly with caregivers is that they really are in need of a simple break and what we like to call respite, giving that caregiver a moment to themselves, the opportunity to take a deep breath, to really process some of those losses and those different stages of grief, and giving them that temporary rest from caregiving so that they can make sure that they are at their best and that they are a healthy caregiver to be able to provide the best care for their loved one.
Well, I tell you, that is awesome. And therapists, when you and I talked about this, we talked about it, and I had to go and do some research on it because I was just really amazed at what you said to me, but Corey, I did not know that there were over 5 million Americans that are dealing with this type of grieving for the living. So, therapists, would you just share with us, what is this grieving for the living? What is this disease that people experience, caregivers, to start grieving, even though they're right there with us?
Well, the most I guess the most ongoing one is dementia or Alzheimer's, and you can also include cancer in there. But the dementia and Alzheimer's seems to be more of a crisis illness because it comes so sudden and you see the person at a higher level of functioning and then you slowly see them deteriorating to the point of being totally dependent on their caregiver, as the two women were just mentioning. And that can be a burden on the caregiver, but more importantly, it can be a burden on the entire family because now the entire family has to accept that diagnosis, that disease, that crisis, that shift in the dynamics and the role within the family.
Well,
therapist is right on.
Yes.
He is right on. The part of the crisis of this particular disease is the aging population, what we call the baby boomers, and all of them now are graduating into those high-risk ages. So, Sharon, the 5 million Americans today that are affected by this disease, by 2050, that's going to increase to 16 million Americans living with the disease. Triple that, and then you'll have the number of people taking care of these folks.
Well, you know what? I am so glad that you said, what you just said, taking the ones who will be taking care of individuals that may experience Alzheimer's or dementia. But can you share with us, Corey or Ashley, can you just share with us what are some of the struggles that families or challenges that families and caregivers face when dealing with Alzheimer's families or loved ones and grieving the living? What are some of the challenges that they are facing today?
I just want to start 1 second, and then I'll pass it over to Ashley. We call it the longest day. And part of the devastation of this disease is that the loss is progressive. The loss of function is progressive and very systematic, and it runs through the brain, typically beginning with short-term memory and language. And then, as therapists said, ultimately, the brain no longer knows how to direct the body to eat, to drink, to void, and it is a fatal disease. Caregivers constantly talk about that it's a loss every time there's a slight change, every time there's a progression. So there is a constant mourning long before the individual actually passes away from us.
Mm-hmm. And you know what Ashley says? Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and there comes a point when the individual can no longer really cognitively participate in the relationship. We talk about how critical it is early on in the diagnosis to start the planning process and engage in difficult conversations. And that's some of the services that Ashley offers and works with our constituents. We need to give that individual time very early on in the disease to still be independent and to still participate with loved ones and at that point what we call care partners, because there does become a time when the individual can't cognitively.
And just to follow up with what Corey was saying, that living day-to-day with Alzheimer's definitely requires a delicate balance between that person's independence and his or her safety. And so that is usually what we're working with caregivers to kind of assess the needs and the abilities and the safety of themselves as well as their loved one. And so when we're looking at those types of things, and should we keep mother or father or our loved one in the home longer, or do we need to look at long-term care options? How do we begin to make those plans? And oftentimes we're looking at a couple of different factors, all the way from safety within the home to nutritional value and status, considering personal care and hygiene, which is very important, and then also just assessing if that caregiver actually has that time and energy to be able to provide that 24-hour care in the event their loved one loses those abilities. And if not, then looking at what other options or agencies can then come in and couple that and assist with some of that care, maybe in the home or even at a long-term care community.
And
well,
Sharon,
I'm
if I can
Ashley. Go ahead, therapist.
As Ashley was just saying, so as we mentioned the five stages of grief. So just think the last part she mentioned about, you know, having to decide, can I provide this caregiving service or will I have to put mom and dad in a home? So just imagine how that falls in those stages. You know, we mentioned the bargaining. We mentioned the acceptance. We mentioned the depression. Just imagine as an individual at work who has to take on that responsibility with their parent, imagine how that could impact their daily living outside of providing for their parent. And they still have to be a parent. They still have to take care of their children. They still have to work. So that's part of when the depression can start. Okay, I have to make this really important life-changing decision for my mother or father or family member. And how will that not only impact them, but how will that impact me? Because am I going to feel like I let my parent down because I couldn't keep them in the home? But maybe your home was not in it, set up to provide the maximum safety for that individual. So a lot of things play into that. So I really like what they're saying about the importance of stressing the role of the caregiver.
Okay. Well, Corey and Ashley, therapist makes an excellent point. And I think, Ashley, you tell us a little bit, Ashley, about your role, first of all. Tell us what your role is with the Alzheimer's Association and how you help families and caregivers.
Sure. So my role with the association is really focused on that family support and care that we provide through our 24-hour helpline, really sitting down with caregivers either on the phone or even in person to look at care planning options to assess safety. Sometimes there might be a little bit of crisis intervention that we might be discussing and assisting the family with, but also looking at what are some of the support options that we have and programs that we have in our community through our association that can continue to provide support for the family. So we also offer support groups where caregivers can get together in a small group setting, very intimate, safe space, where they're able to talk about some of these same issues we're talking about today, about how do I cope, how do I develop some of these tips and tools as a caregiver, how do I process some of this grief? How do I process this guilt that I'm experiencing? And so through those support groups, that's a safe place where our trained facilitators lead those groups and allow for caregivers to talk to one another about some of those challenges that they're experiencing.
Okay, so a family member or a loved one or caregiver can call your helpline, and if they're feeling like, you know what, I don't think I can afford to do this, I can't do this at home by myself, you all can help them through that, give them an assessment, and help them to link with the needed resources. Is that kind of what I'm hearing, Ashley?
Correct. That is exactly right. So they can call that 24-hour helpline number, and again, that's 1-800-272-3900, and they can get connected to a care consultant who will process that, who will discuss some of their concerns, their questions about the disease, and sit down and do a plan, a care plan for that family, and look at the needed resources that are available.
Oh, that is awesome. Now, Ashley, now, the big question that I know some of my listeners are wanting to know, how much does that cost them to get that help and resource from your organization?
These support services from the association are no cost at all to the public. We are the largest nonprofit supporter of research about this disease, and all of these services are free of cost to individuals and families.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
Wow. Well, that is wonderful.
In addition to say that in addition to the very important work that Ashley does, she also runs a very special early stage program we have, which is directed at individuals who've been recently diagnosed, working with them and their care partners very intentionally in the early stages of the disease. That's an annual program. Ashley also helps us with our conference planning. We do have two annual conferences, and we always want to make sure that the voice of the individual with the disease and the caregiver's needs are represented. And so Ashley is sort of our internal consultant for that work. And we do offer education programs also at no charge upon request. That can be to professionals, individuals, church groups. All that information is also available on our website. So I would certainly encourage your listeners, if it's all right, it's www.alz.org, and then /North Carolina will bring you to the North Carolina chapter for more of that. There are some wonderful web resources as well and chat rooms out there for caregivers.
Well, that is wonderful, and I want you to give that website again, if I heard it correct, www.alz.org/NC.
Spell out North Carolina.
Spell out North Carolina. Got it. North Carolina. Okay. Now, also, can we get that 1-800 number again?
Sure. That 24-hour 1-800 number is 1-800-272-3900.
Wonderful. I tell you, this show, I told you, this show goes by so fast, and Ashley and Corey, it has been wonderful having you. But before we go, Corey, I just want to ask you this. Now, you said that you are a nonprofit organization, and I know that your mission to eliminate, one of your goals is to eliminate Alzheimer's disease. But now you're 501c3. Do you take donor donations for those of my listeners who may want to contribute? Do you take donations? How does that work?
Absolutely. And again, that can be done online through that website or by calling that 1-800 number as well. It can be done over the phone. If they call that number, they can get some more information. If they'd like to write a check and mail a check in, we'll give you that mailing address.
Okay, that's fine. Yes, what is that mailing address?
That is 4600 Park Road, Suite 250, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28209.
Okay. 4600 Park Road, Suite 250, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28209. And don't forget, you all, you can go to their website as well. They have some wonderful resources on there. And last but not least, Ashley, Corey, just tell us, how do you see your organization, the families in our communities? How does it benefit our families as we close the show?
We are here as a resource and a support for the individuals with this disease, and very importantly for those taking care of them. And it's through the helpline and care consultations and educational programs and the online.
What's going on, people? It's your boy Zay Lee, Reflect Nation, stand up, and you are listening to Sharon.
To help work through that grief.
Wow, that is wonderful. And we're just so appreciative to have you here on the show today, because I know you're very, very busy. So thank you so much. And therapists, this is a huge topic. I mean, we could go on and on talking about this, but preparing for the unexpected, grieving the living. Tell us, what are your last thoughts to families who may be going through this and experiencing this? What are some final thoughts that you have for those families today?
The most important thing is the word family. Grief is not a process that anyone should have to go through alone. So when we mention family, your family is not just the blood relatives, but anyone who has a connection to that loved one that can provide a support and be a resource. And never be afraid to ask questions, because before we can accept anything, we have to understand it.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Corey. Tell us what you do at the Alzheimer's Association, Corey.
I'm the Director of Program Services, so I have the privilege of working with our staff like Ashley to make sure we're delivering education and resources to the community at large.
Well, we just want to say thank you so much for what you do, and I know it has to be rewarding and fulfilling, Corey and Ashley, and thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And Therapist Davis, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. And I'm going to share with you what my dad told me when I was starting my business. He said, babe, if you want to be successful, surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. And that's exactly what we did today. We had Therapist Davis, we had Corey McDonough, and we had Ashley joining us today. And I want to pass that on to you. Surround yourself by people who are smarter than you are. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful day. You've been listening to Sharon right here on the Marketing Pulpit.